In 2006, the premium bottled water company Fiji ran an ad that read, "The label says Fiji because it's not bottled in Cleveland." Fiji Water, who charge $2 per bottle of water, were insinuating that the water in Cleveland doesn't quite live up to the artisan aquifers in Fiji. Cleveland weren't too happy. The city's water department head, Julius Cachea, took this as an insult. After seeing the ad, he ordered the bottled water to be tested. The tests compared a bottle of Fiji water to Cleveland tap water, and they found something quite shocking. Fiji water reportedly contained 6.3 micrograms of arsenic per litre, whereas the tap water from Cleveland, well, that contained no arsenic. Now, while that level of arsenic is still just about considered safe, it was a major embarrassment for Fiji water. The CEO had to apologise, saying the ad was just a joke. But this ad revealed something surprising. There's a basic assumption that bottled water is safer than tap water, but the results at Cleveland showed that in many cases, that's not true. In fact, tests across most economically developed countries find that tap water is just as safe, if not safer, than bottled water. So why, in 2023, was $342 billion spent on bottled water? Well, some say it's due to flavour. They say bottled water tastes cleaner, purer. Yet, a recent blind taste test survey by students at Boston University found that only 33% of taste testers were able to identify tap water and bottled water correctly. The majority of us just can't tell the difference. In fact, a recent report cited in The Independent found that almost half of all bottled water is actually derived from the tap anyway. So when considering why people buy, we can probably rule out taste as well. And it's certainly not down to the environmental reasons. A study in the Journal of Environmental Research Letters revealed that the plastic that went into bottled water that Americans consume yearly came from the byproducts of roughly 32 to 54 million barrels of oil. For context, that's more oil than the whole of the UK uses in a month. Bottled water isn't really safer, it's certainly not tastier, and it's definitely not better for the environment. Plus, financially, it's an awful deal. At a cost price of $1.22 per gallon for tap water, consumers are spending 300 times more on bottled water than tap water. A 300 times margin, well, that's almost unheard of. And yet it works. Billions of us buy bottled water each year. Our thirst is growing, with sales up 5% year on year. When you take a step back, you realise that this is totally irrational. We pay billions for a product that is 300 times cheaper, available in our own homes. It's safer for us and causes less environmental damage. If the bottled water industry can teach us anything, it's that companies don't have to set rational prices. Companies don't need to follow logical pricing strategies. No, they can be completely irrational and often succeed because of it. Today, we will cover why irrational prices work with examples from fashion, food, and flights. All of that coming up after this quick break. Marketing Made Simple, hosted by Dr. JJ Peterson, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals, and it is the podcast I'd love to recommend today. Marketing Made Simple brings you practical tips to make your marketing easy and, more importantly, make it work. In a recent episode, JJ spoke about the power of one-liners. He shared how these short business descriptions are the foundation for your marketing efforts, and I think that episode is well worth a listen. So tune into Marketing Made Simple wherever you get your podcasts. Today, I am talking with Melina Palmer.
Hello, I am Melina Palmer. I am an applied behavioral economist helping people in business to understand why customers buy and employees buy in. I do that through my podcast, The Brainy Business, as well as through some books. The new book is called The Truth About Pricing.
So what is the truth about pricing?
Pricing isn't really about the price. And so all the things that happen before the price matter more than the price itself. It's not about that number on the tag. And all the stuff that comes before really is incorporating psychology and different aspects of behavioral economics, behavioral science, understanding how the brain really works and interprets information to help it so it feels like a smooth journey that's really easy for someone to buy in on whatever it is that you are selling them.
Pricing isn't really about the price. Fiji Water don't sell their bottles for $2 because that's what it's worth. No, arguably it's worth 300 times less than that. They sell it for $2 because they can. They use a number of different psychological biases to make consumers believe that it's worth that price. And Fiji Water aren't alone in doing this, of course. Several companies use irrational pricing strategies that surprisingly work.
So there's a restaurant in New York City. It's called Serendipity 3, and they have a $214 grilled cheese sandwich on their menu. They also have $200 fries, and they have a $1,000 vanilla sundae. They have these exorbitantly priced items. And yes, you would be right in thinking that they're kind of a PR thing, right? It's a PR stunt, so you may say, because they're Guinness record holding items on their menu and people buy them. And it's not that everyone buys them all of the time, but they set this high anchor of where if you didn't get the $200 grilled cheese, you may feel like, but I want to go and be part of the vibe and to show we were there when we were in New York and you want to share about it on social media. And maybe I'll just get the $35 grilled cheese because like it's being a piece of it, even though I'm not getting the whole one. And maybe you do kind of want to try it to see what all the hype is about and you want to jump in on that.
Serendipity 3 sell the world's most expensive grilled cheese sandwich, the world's most expensive fries, and what they call the golden opulence sundae. This seems irrational. Economic theory would suggest that $200 fries will only deter custom, as it's 50 times higher than any reasonable price point. Yet it works. Not only as an effective PR stunt, it acts as an anchor, making their cheaper, yet still expensive, $39 burger look reasonably priced. Sure, Fiji Water is expensive, but it looks quite reasonable compared to a bottle of Voss, the premium brand sold in a sleek glass bottle for 50% more than Fiji Water. And both Fiji and Voss make Nestlé's Pure Life Water look like a bargain. Rather than realizing that bottled water costs 300 times more than necessary, millions of consumers buy several gallons of Pure Life because it looks like a great deal compared with Fiji or Voss. Anchoring in bottled water and in Serendipity's menu seems irrational, but it actually boosts sales. But this is just one of many irrational pricing strategies. There's many more. Take Supreme.
Supreme is a brand that they'll do, you know, product drops of things that have the Supreme logo on them. And so many things, some that seem to quote unquote make sense, right? Where it's shirts or bags or hats or things like that. And they do a lot of partnerships with the North Face, Louis Vuitton, things that we get. And they've also released really weird stuff like crowbars and clay bricks and Oreos and Subway passes to ride on the subway transit system in New York. Things you go like, well, why does this have a logo on it? And just to have the logo on it, people pay way more than they would for the thing without the logo on it. And so one of the examples I give in the book is a Pyrex 2-quart measuring cup. In the original state, it's like $5 to buy one of these Pyrex measuring cups. And you potentially know, right? It's the glass, it's clear, it's got red writing on it. The Supreme logo is almost the same color red. It's basically exactly the same. And they sold it for about $25 to buy the exact same measuring cup that you could get, you know, for five times less in this case. And it sold out immediately.
So how do Supreme turn $5 cups into $25 must-have items? Well, Melina says it's down to scarcity.
Supreme is really into that extreme, extreme, extreme scarcity that there's a drop. They do an announcement. It's going to happen. You go in, you buy what you want to get, and you'll never see it again. They did it once, and that's it.
The rational thing for Supreme to do would be to create thousands of Pyrex cups. After all, they're selling them at five times the cost. But they don't. They limit the number and they only sell them at a specific time each week, 11 a.m. on Thursday. These are what they call product drops. In a drop, an entire collection of different items will be made available, and once they're sold out, they'll never be sold by Supreme again. This irrational strategy, well, it drums up interest. Indigo Digital have found that traffic to Supreme sites jump up by 17,000% during a drop. Adam Alter, a professor at NYU, says it creates a scarcity frenzy that drives Supreme's growth. Now, no rational textbook pricing framework would suggest this strategy, yet it works. Supreme are valued at $1 billion. But these irrational models aren't just fit for premium brands like Serendipity or Supreme. No, cheaper brands can benefit too. Melina shares how Costco, the retail brand offering warehouse-level prices on goods, well, they double down on an irrational pricing strategy that's due to reciprocity.
You know, one of the things that I think everybody can quickly see in the Costco model of reciprocity, you know, is the free samples. And they did these, of course, much more before the pandemic, but they still have it, at least now, that little gift of something that helps people want to buy from you.
Now, this probably isn't irrational. Giving away a free sample makes financial sense. It costs very little, yet you can gain quite a lot. Robert Cialdini, in his book Persuasion, shares a study that shows how shoppers at a candy store became 42% more likely to make a purchase if they'd received a gift upon entry, so a gift of chocolate, for example. According to Costco's own sales figures, products like cheese and frozen pizza and lipstick, well, they get big purchase uplifts once a free sample for that product is offered. Free samples make sense, but a different core part of Costco's strategy doesn't make sense.
The other thing that they do where we see reciprocity, though, is in a few very specific items that they have said they will never raise the prices on. And they've said it a lot, right? So if they ever do, it will be a whole situation for them. So one of those is their $1.50 hot dog combo. So you can get a good quality hot dog and a soda for $1.50. And then they also have their rotisserie chickens, which have been the same price since the 80s or whatever when they started offering them. I think they're $4.99. And they have said they will never change the price. And so they sell a lot of both of these things. And we'd say, wow, how much money are they making? And what has come out is they actually lose between $30 and $40 million a year just on the chicken. And you'd say, why? Why would you do that, right? So a few key items like this that help to showcase the great value they present and what they know about their members and that they're willing to do this. Trust, Costco makes money, right? There's not a question about that. But they have some key items where they're willing to lose to help you out, and they're getting great deals on so much stuff that you're not checking and price comparison shopping in the same way that you might with other retailers, because you just believe that Costco, it's going to kind of come out in the wash.
Costco have offered a $1.50 hot dog and soda combo since 1984. They haven't changed the price of this deal in 40 years. They sell 135 million hot dogs a year. That's more than every Major League Baseball stadium combined. People love them. It's so popular that Costco's CEO regularly has to give press interviews to reassure customers that those prices won't rise.
You must be tired at this point of answering questions about food court, but you did tweak some prices on some items on the menu, which inevitably leads to speculation about the hot dog combo. Is there any inflationary environment where you would raise that price?
No.
This legendary deal hasn't just helped Costco gain a cult following, it's allowed them to benefit, according to Melina, from the reciprocity bias. Melina believes that customers repay Costco in loyalty and increased sales. Customers know that Costco is selling this hot dog at a loss, and they respond with reciprocity. There's evidence that backs this up. In 2007, Armin Falk ran a study involving 9,846 fundraising letters. He tested reciprocity by including a gift of postcards in half the letters, saying these are gifts from the children your donations help. The other 50% of letters included no gift. He found that this small act of kindness had a dramatic impact on donations. The average donation amount across those who received the reciprocity postcards grew from 63% in the control to £3.65 for the variant. That's a 5 times increase just by offering a small, cheap gift. Melina reckons Costco benefits in the same way. By offering an irrationally cheap hot dog combo, they benefit from increased sales elsewhere. While consultancy firms and accounting teams would look at this deal and lament it for all the losses it generates, the Costco CEO understands that some irrational pricing strategies, well, they can pay off. Okay. Time for a quick break. I'll be back in 60 seconds with probably my favourite example of irrational pricing. It is common to hear that marketing is ever-changing, that this year is different and that customers are evolving. Honestly, in the 10 years I've worked in marketing, those predictions have been largely bogus. But last year was different. AI, the proliferation of ChatGPT, and the global use of these tools does seem to have changed marketing in significant ways. To better understand this change, I'd recommend checking out HubSpot's State of Marketing Report. The 2024 edition is the all-in-one guide for everything happening this year and how marketing has changed fairly dramatically in the past 12 months. HubSpot surveyed more than 1,400 marketing pros from across the world and curated the top trends they are thinking about. If you download the free report, you'll get all the info you need to genuinely understand how marketing is changing and to think critically about how your marketing strategies might need to evolve. Visit hubspot.com/state of marketing to get your copy. Welcome back. You're listening to Nudge with me, Phil Agnew. Now, if you've travelled in Europe, you have almost certainly used or at least considered using Ryanair, the low-priced airline that offers flights for shockingly low prices. While their pricing strategy is fairly rational, charge less at all costs, the way they market it is often irrational. Here's Melina to explain.
They have some really amazing ways that they have made it darn clear that for their person, the person who's looking for cheap travel, they are the source. And one of those is actually using that word cheap, where when we think about our brands and our companies, we're always trying to hedge, right? And say, oh, it's a great value, which of course I care about value, right? But in the case of Ryanair, if you say it's a, you know, value for the money or whatever else, it could be a little bit confusing for people and saying, basically, we're cheap and we know it, right? So their ads are super basic. We know they're not investing a ton of money in flashy ads and agencies because they're caring about that bottom line for you as a traveler. Similarly, you know, their website is kind of feels like a throwback to the 90s when you were doing some research on stuff. And there was a point in an interview where the CEO was made a joke about wanting to charge for people to use the bathroom on the flights. That it was going to be a euro or something to use the bathroom.
Did you really want to charge to use toilets on Ryanair planes? Yes, yes or no?
Yes. We have 3 toilets. If I can get rid of the 2 toilets at the back of the planes, I can add 6 extra seats. With 6 extra seats, I can lower everybody's airfare by another 5% all year round.
Did you want to make some passengers stand on planes to fit more people in, a la the tube?
Yes.
A bunch of people then like up in arms of, oh, how dare you suggest that you would do this or whatnot. It may feel a little bit painful as a person go, oh gosh, they're making fun of us. I hate that. But they're making fun of you for something that you want to be known for and people are sharing and talking about. It's actually really good in the case of Ryanair.
Most chief marketing officers would lament this approach. They wouldn't want old-fashioned ads. They wouldn't want a cheap-looking website. They certainly wouldn't want the CEO debating whether or not to sell standing seats on a late-night chat show. That's irrational. Yet, it works. Ryanair is incredibly successful because they are synonymous with value for money. This odd marketing strategy, which often makes them seem laughable, cements them as the cheapest brand in the business. The more you analyse high-growth companies of the past 20 years, the more you see these irrational approaches. It's not just Costco, Ryanair, and Supreme. Take Starbucks, who revolutionized coffee by charging 2 times more than any competitor. Or Nespresso, who changed at-home coffee drinking by comparing their pods to Starbucks lattes, not Nescafe Instant. Or look at Red Bull, who stole market share from Coca-Cola, not by charging less, offering more, and improving flavor, but by doing the opposite, charging more, offering less, and creating a worse flavor. Irrational approaches often win, and it's not just the case with prices. Loyalty schemes can benefit from a bit of irrationality as well.
So Pret-a-Manger, right, you have there, they have an example with their loyalty cards in a way that leverages surprise and delight in a really cool and thoughtful way that you can have randomness so it doesn't become expected, but it is still trackable and really scalable for the company. So instead of just the punch card of every 10 times you come in, you get a free coffee or whatever it is, they have it so that their staff have a certain number of, it's either a number of items or a dollar amount that they have to give away every week.
This seems irrational. Why not give loyal customers a free coffee after 10 purchases? A random reward scheme won't incentivize loyalty, but it does make customers who receive the reward far happier than the typical loyalty card would.
Okay, I went in to find out how they choose people to give free stuff to, and they said it's completely random, depends on the customer. And then she asked what I wanted, and I got a sponge. Sorry, I'm really happy, but I'm going to eat this.
A random reward policy seems irrational on paper. It looks worse than a standard scheme. Yet Pret, like dozens of other companies, have shown that these schemes don't have to be rational. Fiji Water, who arrogantly claim their water is better than the tap water from Cleveland, well, they know this better than anyone else. They take water that's almost identical in flavour, arguably of worse quality, with considerably more arsenic, and then they charge 300 times more than the tap water equivalent. Why? Because prices don't need to make rational sense. All right, folks, that is all for today. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Melina today and you want to hear more from her, here's where you can find her.
The easiest thing, you know, you can go to thebrainybusiness.com. You can find information about me, the podcast, speaking, all my books, things like that. If your audience goes to thebrainybusiness.com/nudge, they can check out the first chapter of any of my books for free. That's our little reciprocity piece there. And see, you know, try before you buy, make sure it's a fit for you and you like the style of that. You can also find me on all the socials as The Brainy Biz. B-I-Z, and as Melina Palmer on LinkedIn.
Do go check out Melina's work. She is fantastic. And as always, please do share Nudge with a friend. Please do drop us a review. And if you want more, please consider signing up to the Nudge newsletter. If you do, you'll get access to bonus episodes, a weekly behavioral science tip every Friday, and my personal email address so you can just get in touch. To sign up, just head to nudgepodcast.com and click newsletter in the description, or just click the link in today's show notes. All right. Cheers, folks. That is all for today. I'll see you next Monday for another episode of Nudge. Cheers.